Now, though, it is time to talk gadgets with our gadget detective, Fevzy. If you've got a question for Fevzy, do get in touch. And you can pretty much sort anything and everything. Isn't that right, Fevzy?
I'll give it a go.
You'll give it a go. So we're talking phones, we're talking tablets, we're talking computers. But you do white goods as well. I mean, we've done tumble dryers in the past. You name it, Fevzy can sort it. You can get in touch. Text 81333. Start your message with the word radio, or you can call.
Call BBC Sussex.
0800 232 1045.
BBC Sussex.
Let's start, though, Fevzy, with your gadget of the week. So this is a sound bar.
Yeah, so just to take a step backwards, this is something that you use with a television set to give you better sound. And why would one need this? The reason is TV sets, we know, are getting bigger in terms of their screen size, but they're also getting thinner. So we went from the big cathode ray tube models to flat screens, but even the flat screens are getting thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner, to the point where, you know, you can almost paint them onto a wall. They're so thin. Now, the problem with that is the picture can remain great with that because of the way the technology works, but there's a certain physics to loudspeakers that means that they have to have a certain size and depth to produce a reasonable sound. So you've got these really high-end, large, expensive television sets out there with beautiful pictures, you know, 4K, even 8K pictures, and crummy built-in sound, really poor built-in sound. And there's not much they can do about it because, you know, it's the TV is so thin. So sound bars have become increasingly popular whilst this trend's been going on. So some people have, you know, real movie enthusiasts have been buying surround sound systems where there's speakers at the front, speakers in the corners, speakers at the back behind you, you know, and then you can, you know, you get true surround sound. But not everyone wants to go that far. You know, it can be quite intrusive having speakers all over the house, and sometimes the wires that have to connect them up, you know, you end up pulling up the carpet and all that if you don't want to go wireless. So the soundbar is a good compromise. It gives you sound quality for TV, which is head and shoulders above any normal TV speakers, but with the convenience of being, in this case, so this one's from Soundcore, it's called the Infini Pro, and it's 3 feet long exactly. It's 36 inches long, and it sits typically under the screen, although you could conceivably put it on the wall above if you wanted to. And in that, it's got a decent set of speakers. So it's got two mid-range speakers for the mid frequencies, it's got two tweeters for the high frequencies, and it's got two additional 3-inch speakers pointing upwards, which are effectively the subwoofer. So it's what's called a 2.1 system. It gives you stereo and then all the bass, which is not directional. You can't really tell where bass frequencies come from. So it gives you a subwoofer that gives you all that sound. And all of that is integrated into the bar, so you don't even have to have this sort of boxy subwoofer clogging up the place as well. So this is for people who want convenience but still good sound quality. It's got Dolby Atmos built into it, which is a type of surround sound system. So you still, it uses something called psychoacoustics, so it tricks your mind into thinking that you're listening to speakers that aren't actually there. So it gives you the impression of being in this immersive sound field without having speakers littered all over your living room. So it's really quite clever. The quality is good. They're not cheap. The full price on this is about £230, although I do note quite frequently they sell for substantially less than that. You know, you just need to look out for the offers on them. But the list price is £230. You might be able to pick it up for, on a good day, maybe £170, £180. So they're not nothing. But if you've spent, you know, quite a sizable amount on the TV set, then it's a good thing to do. And the sound is much underrated. You know, it's really important to have good sound for the listening pleasure, particularly when you're watching films, or particularly when you have people who maybe don't have perfect hearing and you want to you know, tune the frequency so that the dialogue is very clear. It's just a delight, and it takes, I would say, in terms of pleasure of watching a film or a movie, I would say that it gives you more pleasure than going from sort of HD to 4K. You know, you'd have to look at a screen pretty carefully to notice a very significant difference in that increase in resolution. But going from built-in speakers to a sound bar is astounding. It's very obviously better, and it just makes it much more fun. When I got my first sound bar, this was in the days of sort of Blu-ray and all of that, I put all my films back on and watched them all again, and it was a revelation because suddenly they had this great sound attached to them. So I think that's, you know, it's a good thing to do. Consider, I mean, there are others on the market. The one I've chosen to look at, which is a good compromise between price and quality, is a Soundcore Infinity Pro, which is a 2.1 system. It means stereo plus subwoofer. The 0.1 is the subwoofer.
I have a confession. I can't tell the difference between HD and otherwise. Paul loves it. He'd be like, put it on HD. I'd be like, just look at it. It all looks the same to me.
Yeah, well, it depends on your eyesight, your TV set, how far you are from the TV set. I think that from going from standard to HD is great. Going from HD to 4K, which is four times as many dots essentially on the screen, I mean, you can tell yourself you can see the difference, and some people can, and you can measure the difference.
I mean, I don't want to be sexist. I think it's a man thing, personally. I've said it.
I think it's a bit of Emperor's New Clothes myself.
And I think the soundbar thing might be a bit of a man thing as well. I mean, I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there. Speakers and subwoofers and all that.
Well, that's the whole point. And I didn't want to say this to you, but the soundbar is what... No, I have to be careful how I say this now.
Just say it.
Some people will find that their spouses find the soundbar less intrusive than a full surround sound speaker system in the living room.
Right.
And therefore, it is an acceptable compromise between built-in speakers.
I'd be interested to know how many women give a what's it about a soundbar. It's a bit of a bloke thing, isn't it? Coy, you want to come over and see our new soundbar, mate? It's amazing sound, amazing. June is hanging on the line in Eastbourne. Let's go to her. June, you have a question for Fevzy.
Yes, please.
Hello, June.
Hello. It's not the sound on the television. I have macular degeneration. And
yes.
I don't know if you know much about it.
I do, yeah.
The Blind Society, when it first started, I did have them come in. It plays tricks with you. You can see the screen when I'm sitting some ways.
Yeah.
And I did have them come in, but it meant putting another set to my chair. Very expensive.
Yes.
And I didn't go to the expense. Is there any... It meant a hazard because it had to be connected to the telly and then brought nearer my chair.
Yeah. So
is there
for listeners...
Anything that will increase on my screen will make
it easier for you to view it.
Yes.
And it is difficult. Has your AMD progressed quite far now, or is it sort of at the earlier stages, would you say?
I have a lot of faith, and I believe it is getting better. It does come in fits and starts. I can see when I get stressed, it's bad.
Yeah,
like everybody.
Okay, so for those that don't know, age-related macular degeneration is a condition of the macula, which is at the back of the eye where the light beams are focused effectively. And as it progresses, individuals that suffer from it tend to have loss of central vision but maintain their peripheral vision. So this is, you know, essentially what happens. And that means that the angle at which you watch a television set becomes key, because you're trying to watch it increasingly out of your peripheral vision, which is hard for the brain to adapt to and hard to get exactly the right angle. And sometimes as you get tired or stressed, as you say, it changes, your vision changes, because vision isn't only about the physics of the light waves hitting the eye. It's to do with your brain and how it copes with that information. I've seen people approach it. There are no perfect solutions to this, but I've seen people improve their situation either by sitting closer to their television, turning up the brightness, changing the angle or the angle of their head towards the screen. Other people have done quite well by having a large tablet in their hands and watching their films and programs on that. And the benefit of that is that you can constantly change the angle and so forth. You can have it on a stand or hold it in your hands, and you can improve it in that way. But it's very difficult to get around the fact that there's a loss of central vision I mean, on a side note, and it's not certainly not my area of expertise, but I do know that ophthalmic surgeons recommend green leafy vegetables as something that's generally good for the eyes. There are tablets called AREDS 2, which have some evidence behind them that say that can help. And also, you know, if you go to an eye hospital, I know about more.
Actually, they've given me up for a year. They don't want to see me for a year.
They've given you for a year. Yeah. Have they been doing injections for you out of interest?
No, I wouldn't have them anyway if I had the choice.
Yeah. For some patients, injections can take place. I would just say to you, there is a research study being done some of the scientists at the Moorfield, where they've been able to partially reverse AMD in one of their trial patients, and there's a patient trial in progress. So you may want to look into that. That's certainly well outside my field. But
I thought we're talking technology. We seem to have veered off into a health phone.
Well, until we can do you an eye implant, June, I mean, then that will come. But at the moment, it's a case of trying to, you know, mitigate the effects, and technology will take you so far. But because of the nature of it, where, you know, you tend to lose those central vision receptors, you kind of need to learn to use your peripheral vision. For general vision, by the way, good lighting is essential as well. So you can find that you can get a step up in your vision by improving the lighting.
So improve the lighting and maybe try a tablet. Thank you so much, June, for getting in touch. Fiona has got a question. She says, my daughter wants an active stylus to use with her HP Pavilion laptop. She wants to use it to annotate slides, and also she wants to use it with an Illustrator app.
Yeah. Okay.
What is an active stylus? I have no idea.
So a stylus is the thing that looks like a pen or a pencil use to draw on the screen and so forth. And an active one, definitions vary a little bit, but it can mean one where it's detected before it actually touches the screen, and it's not. So there's active and passive, and the active ones are the better ones. They're the ones that are more responsive and typically give you a better resolution in what you're drawing. I'm not sure if HP do one themselves. I would imagine they do if they do screens that are sufficient. But if not, Logitech do a good one, and it's a sort of third-party one, but it works on a variety of different touch screens. So you could look at that. That one is well-regarded. Beyond that, I wouldn't go for something like an Apple Pencil, because that's unique to Apple. You know, typically it works with their stuff and their stuff only. Although it is excellent, but unless you're using an iPad, it's not going to work for you. But that's essentially it. Look at HP, which would be the best in terms of compatibility. Check out the one from Logitech as well. Buy them in a way that you can return them if they're not to your liking. You know, it's a bit tricky. Go for ones that give you, for example, a 30-day guarantee, money-back guarantee for any reason. The law was changed a few years ago. Consumer law was changed. It used to be, we used to have these things called distance selling regulations, where anything you bought online or over the phone or by mail order, you could return it for 30 days for any reason, having used it. And that was great, you know. But now the law says that you can return it for, I forget the period, it might be 30 days or a bit less, but it has to be in a resaleable condition. And that's really tricky, because the definition of resaleable, it depends on the retailer, how they interpret it. Some of them will say, if you've broken the seal and opened the box, it's no longer sellable as new, and therefore you're not entitled to your money back. So what you need to do is go for a retailer that gives you protection well above the legal minimum, which is now relatively poor. Go for one where you can do that. And if it's over £100, buy it with a credit card if you can, because that will give you additional protection.
Yeah.
But essentially, it's the sort of thing, it's a very personal purchase, this. You know, you've got the compatibility, and then you've got how the person feels about it. How does it feel in their hand? Are they comfortable with it? Does it cause lag between when you draw and what you draw appears? Because for all those reasons, you can't just look at the specs online and buy with certainty.
No, it's a personal preference.
So you want one where they will, you know, allow you to return it for any reason for full refund.
Lisa's got in touch firstly to say, Alison, I'm with you totally. I think the subwoofer slash soundbar is definitely a man thing. If you have a question for Fevzy, our gadget detective, you can text 81333, start your message with the word radio. Bev's got in touch from Yapton to say, how do I know which background processes I can delete on my laptop? It's going really slowly. And if I look at Task Manager, I've got loads of processes running.
Right. Okay. It's a tricky one. So a process is like a little simple program that runs in the background. So a process can be a part of the operating system, or it can be part of a piece of software that you've installed in addition to the operating system. Obviously, you don't want to be shutting down operating system processes, because that will tend to destabilize the computer and it'll fall over, it'll crash. This is tricky. When you say delete, one thing that you can do is you can choose which ones start up. That doesn't mean you're deleting the code that's stored on the hard drive. You can switch it back on again. So you should look up the processes that are running. Look at the names of each one, and then you can do an internet search, a Google or other internet search, to see what they are, and it will tell you if it's part of the Windows operating system or if it's something else. Some things should be running in the background in addition to the operating system. So, for example, your antivirus program should have processes running to protect you, because that's something that you want running in the background protecting you all the time. However, there are all sorts of things that, you know, software writers love to have their stuff running all the time. It makes them feel good and powerful, and sometimes it allows them to collect information about you. And what you can do is research the ones that look like they're third party. If it's something like, I don't know, a PDF tool or a screen grabber or something, you don't need that running all the time. You could just start it up when you needed it. If you do your research and you think, okay, I'll get rid of that, you switch it off. But if it causes instability or other problems, then you can switch it back on again. There's no harm done. The only time that, well, there's times when harm would be done is, for example, if you accidentally switched off a process of your antivirus or security software, or you destabilize the operating system. The other thing that you can do is, if you run a piece of software, the free version, don't pay for this, there's a free version of a software called C Cleaner. That's the letter C followed by the word cleaner, so two C's at the beginning. So you can get that, I think it's from a company called Pirisoft, P-I-R-I-S-O-F-T. You can search for it. They will try to sell you the paid for version, don't buy it. They will try and tell you to download software with it, and if you're not careful, you'll suddenly have Google Chrome or something on your system that you didn't ask for. That's how they make their money, right, when they're providing you with free software. So tread carefully when you download. However, Pirisoft CCleaner is nice, because what it does is it enables you just to say, instead of working at process level, it enables you to say, I don't want these apps being fired up at startup when I first boot up my computer. So that can give you an easier, and it's also a good tool to switch up processes on and off. It's easier to use than Windows. And I would recommend that as a piece of software in general for people anyway, because it helps keep the system sort of spring cleaned automatically. And it is one of the things that I actually allow to run in the background when I switch on my PC is CCleaner, because what it does is it just tidies up everything that was left over from the last time I used the computer. And it's quite gentle. Some of them are a bit aggressive and sometimes delete things that shouldn't be, but CCleaner is generally a good one to use. So a long answer, but essentially do your research on the names, see what they are, and if you feel confident, switch them off. If there's any problems, switch them back on again.
Brilliant. Listen, thank you so much, Fevzy. If people want to get in touch, they can do so on Twitter.
On Twitter, come and say hello at Gadget Detective. If you've got a problem you couldn't get through today, I'd be delighted to try and help you if I can.
Fab. And we'll chat again in a couple of weeks' time.